and welcome to the IAA Mobility Visionary Club, the show where we connect you with the mobility pioneers who are driving our future. If you are keeping count, today is episode 8, and it is all about autonomous driving. To help break into the topic, I'm very pleased to introduce to you a special guest. He is the head of autonomous driving at DB Regio. Please welcome Thomas Dreves. Thomas, I'm so pleased to have you.
Thank you very much, Sarah, for the introduction, and thank you very much for the invitation today. And autonomous driving will change our way of being mobile. But let's start from the beginning. The public transport sector, autonomous driving is necessary because increasing driver shortage and operational costs, especially in rural areas, autonomous driving is therefore a key factor for social participation, climate protection, and economic growth. Therefore, we at DB Regio, the business unit of Deutsche Bahn, which manages local public transport, are systematically building our competencies in this area. We started the first Level 3 service on public roads in Germany in the city of Bad Birnbach in 2017. And we founded Aioki around the same time to build an on-demand platform for booking and ride-sharing in order to meet the needs of the public transport sector. Since the technology and the legislation entered Level 4 in 2022, we see now that we are reaching the point where autonomous driving is getting ready for regular mobility services. So it's becoming now relevant for our mobility system. We at Deutsche Bahn don't do street mobility on our own account. We are a mobility service provider, and we are doing it to or for public transport authorities and transport companies of cities and so on. Therefore, together with our partners, the Rhein-Main Transport Association, the local partners in the district of Offenbach and the city of Darmstadt, we started the Kira project. Our target is to test the Level 4 technology and determine if it's ready for regular transportation. We have 6 vehicles with a Mobileye self-driving system, and we are funded by the state of Hessen and the Federal Ministry of Transportation. We have a test approval for Level 4. That means that safety drivers are in the vehicle for the whole project. We started the testing at the end of June last year, and we are preparing for a closed user group service in which test users can book a ride on demand via the Aioki app. Our vehicles are allowed to drive up to 130 kilometers per hour. This higher speed is important because we use country roads in rural areas to connect cities and villages. We are also focusing on the countryside because we have the biggest gap here between mobility demand and offer. That brings me back to my statement from the beginning. Autonomous driving will change our way of being mobile. The question is how and for whom. Today, mobility means mainly private cars, and the private car will also play the dominant role in the future. But it will take long time until fully autonomous driving technology will be available for private cars. Before that, there are two fundamentally different directions in which autonomous driving can develop. First, robotaxi services like in the US and China. We will see that service only in bigger cities with high density of population because it's only profitable there. And secondly, common good-orientated public transport with an attractive mobility service for everybody. With autonomous driving, we can offer mobility at all times and everywhere. Today, we know that autonomous driving will be a game changer because the service will be very attractive. The people will want to use it. In Germany as a country, we need a clear political objective of how our mobility system should look like in the future. What is best for our society, for our economy, and our environment? I really liked what Ursula von der Leyen, our president of the European Commission, stated the last weeks. Europe wants to become the technology leader in autonomous driving. Currently, there are no competitive European-level four self-driving systems on the market. However, in the US and China, there are already autonomous commercial services with thousands of vehicles that are fully driverless. For example, only the Google subsidiary Waymo is doing more than 200 paid rides a week, 200,000 paid rides a week. If we want to become the technological leader, then we need to compete with big money. We need to invest billions, and we need an autonomous automotive industry that is willing to build the system into their vehicles. And we need also the public transport sector to create the demand for the industry by deploying the vehicles in model regions for attractive autonomous service driving services. So the automotive industry and the public transport sector are the two sides of the gold medal for autonomous driving in Europe. So that was my statement, and I'm waiting for nice questions. Thank you.
Well, Thomas, thank you very much for opening up this topic for us. I want to follow up talking about the Kira system. What are your learnings from Kira so far, and what are the biggest barriers in your experience to scaling autonomous public transit in Germany?
When we got the vehicles, the first learning was it worked from the day one surprisingly good. That was really for us in a surprise, because usually you expect you have to train it and get step by step from a low level, and this worked good. And but then to get into a perfect driving performance, as I said, we are now like more than 8 months on the road. This needs time and a lot of work. So what we are doing at the moment is our safety drivers drive these vehicles through the area where we want to put our service. And then they are looking where is the driving performance not perfect. And then they're tagging this. So the software engineers for Mobileye go into this data, looking where what could they prepare and improve in the system. And so step by step, the system gets better and improves the driving performance. So
okay, so it sounds like things started out well and you're looking for room for improvement.
Exactly. And working now on getting ready to welcome the first customers in the vehicle.
Well, that's very exciting. You know, autonomous driving, it currently exists mostly as local projects in Germany. I'm thinking of Kira, which we've talked about, or Moya in Hamburg. Do you think it's eventually going to be necessary to merge these more local solutions into a single large-scale implementation across the country?
The question is where we are now at the market. We have this local project. This was the first step of the market, and this was nice. It was good to show a lot of people the technology is there. But now we are in the second phase. So technology testing for level four, really looking, is the technology now right? For the next step, for scaling up. And then we are entering at the moment the next step, really the scaling up of the market. And then it is not possible to do it like in a lot of different areas, because at the moment the cost of the service is still very high. The vehicles are produced in small numbers, so vehicle costs are high. We have the operational costs. The processes are not developed now. Regulations and data management, the ramp up of the system, as I explained, this is all very cost intensive at the moment. On the same time, we don't have so much financial resources in the public transport sector, in the autonomous industry, in the cities. So. It's we need to be efficient with the money we have. And so it needs to be a very, very small space, or the smallest space possible, to put the vehicles in it. And we need a lot vehicles, because we need to define or create the demand for the automotive industry, that they can build bigger numbers and reduce the costs. and also that we have more experience to develop processes and all this stuff. So we have to create the demand, and we have to use the money we have in an efficient way. And therefore, we need to reduce the space. And also, we can't do so much projects because we have also a bottleneck in the staff on the technology companies, because they can't serve like hundreds of projects in the beginning in this phase of the market. So we have to find a number of model regions where we put a high number of vehicles in it to find the best way to kick off the market now.
I'm curious, when you talk about model regions, how should a model region look? What's the ideal?
As I said, when we come from the demands, we need the efficient use of the money, and we want to, at the end, convince the people to use the services. So we need an attractive service. Therefore, for all of this use, we need a lot of vehicles. And then we want to put in this model regions different self-driving system to train different models. Then we need different vehicle sizes, because we have the shuttles in the market, smaller sized vehicles, but we also need the big buses, as we have driver shortages. It's on the whole range, and for a good mobility service, we need like small and big vehicles on the street. We need also the train transportation, and all together will be an integrated public transport. And so we need, coming from the street mobility, the different sizes, the different technologies, and the a big amount of vehicles. So then we can define the future mobility service, how it look like, that it's attractive to the people.
Let's transition a tiny bit and talk more about public transport and rural mobility. Thomas, walk us through what exactly is level 4 autonomy, and why does it present a significant opportunity for public transit?
We are now at the beginning of level 4. So the first thing to differentiate the different levels is the responsibility for driving. In the previous levels, the driver, a person, a human, has a responsibility. And with level 4, we have the first time the vehicle or the software is fully responsible. And therefore, there's no driving wheel in the vehicle more. And there are no safety drivers at the end. And we have only the vehicle, and we have, for safety reasons, a technical supervision. That means somebody who remote who can answer to questions of the vehicle. It's a service, it's a software, don't know how to react in a situation. It can suggest maneuvers, and the guy in the technical supervision and control center can say, okay, take maneuver 1 or 2. That's the second thing that is defining level 4. And then it's limited to areas. There's a limited areas. You can't drive it everywhere. But this is for us as a public transport sector. We have also always limited areas because this is organized regionally. So for us in the public transport sector, level 4 is the level we need to reach. So for us, it's perfectly fine. For the private cars, then it's level 5, and then it can drive everywhere without supervision.
Thanks for breaking that down. You know, somebody said to me once, level 4 is when you, as the person sitting in the car, can safely read a newspaper and do nothing else but read your newspaper. Is that fair, as sort of a layman's approach to level 4 driving?
Yeah, exactly. So the vehicle has full responsibility. There's not even a steering wheel in the vehicle afterwards. And this is fully autonomous.
And Thomas, talk us through how you're thinking about this integration into public transport systems. What about that aspect?
First of all, autonomous driving is not a new transport mode. It's just the technology that drives the vehicle. So if you want to have a good transport system, that consists usually in 3 pillars: in the trains for the really high demand lanes, the line buses, when you have high demand between cities, smaller cities or in big cities, and then the on-demand shuttles that are really for a wider area for the last mile connections, and also for in real rural areas where you connect from house to house, where there's not enough demand for train or line buses. So these three integrated together, this creates a good integrated public transport system. And autonomous is just how the vehicles are driven.
Why does Deutsche Bahn engage in autonomous driving on roads, and how does it align with the broader transportation strategy?
We are the biggest provider of street mobility in Germany. We work as a service provider for public transport authorities and cities, as I said. And our customers are mainly in rural areas, because in big cities, they have their own transport companies. So we manage in these rural areas over 11,000 buses in Germany. And we see, as I said, we have this topic of driver shortage. And if we don't do anything here, then we will have less public transport in Germany in the next years. So we all need to get prepared that we still have a good offer in Germany. And autonomous driving, of course, is a solution with whom we can expand the transport offer. And then this is really a game changer for the whole public transport system.
Thomas, what about when we look specifically at rural areas? So what can autonomous driving bring to those places? I'm thinking like the tiny village that has one bus that comes twice a day. What's in it for them?
Yeah, this is exactly the topic. We see much too often, really, you have like three school buses a day, and this is not really a mobility solution. But we have a low demand there usually, so the big buses are not really always the right solution to give like in all the rural areas a good service. So with autonomous driving, we can also have smaller vehicles, because the driver are the most expensive point here. And we can then offer it in a more cost-efficient way. And we don't have enough driver anyway, so we can't do it other ways. And you can have every time a good solution, because usually in the countryside and also in big cities, during the night, you don't have any service. So with autonomous driving, we can put like sleeping vehicles there and stand by. And when there is a demand during the night, whenever you come out of the pub, then the vehicle will pick you up and bring you safe home. So this is really changing the mobility offer in Germany or in the rural areas, and also in the big cities. It's like a big push for the offer that we can provide.
Yeah, when you were talking about, you know, the ride after the pub, I was thinking of London, where I live. Night buses are few and far between, especially during the week, and you sometimes have to take a really circuitous route to get home. So the future picture that you're painting is very attractive. I want to invite you to expand on that. How will mobility services look after autonomous driving becomes available, and why exactly is it so attractive?
As we have the possibility now to expand the offer, we can go into a mobility guarantee. We can say, wherever you are, whenever you want to drive, we can drive you. And as we are sharing the cost of the asset, it's also cheaper than to have different owned car or different ways of transportation. So, and if you are then in one of those autonomous vehicles, you don't have to drive. You're not in the traffic jam. You can use your time. Otherwise, you have less stress and have a lot more free time. Time is the the good what we don't have at the moment. Nobody has time, so we give time back to the people. This is, I think, something very valuable. And at the end, if you don't own the vehicle, then you have also less administrative effort. You don't have to bring your car to change the wheels and whatever you may have to do with those vehicles. So it's a better service. You, regardless if you don't have a driver's license, if you don't are in the condition to drive, whatever, you can always drive. You have more freedom. It's cheaper, less stress, and more convenient.
The future looks bright, Thomas. We've got a live question now from one of the viewers. This is from Mark Smith. So thank you, Mark, for the question. He asks, what are the various timelines until passenger cars, commercial vehicles, and other forms of transport such as train and tram will reach autonomy? So what's the timeline here, Thomas?
Yeah, I can only talk about street mobility because it's my area. So we see at the moment that in China and US, we already have it. We already have it. You can, I drove it in China and in the US. So it's really working perfectly. And the question is, when it comes to Europe, we're at the moment in the phase with the safety drivers. In the next two, three years, I think we will get into those type approvals that we have vehicles and technologies here that we can use them fully driverless. So this would be the first step for the smaller sized vehicles, because this is what the industry is developing at the moment. And by the end of the decade, we will have also the big buses, because at the moment, there are parts missing, like drive-by-wire for the big buses, that are necessary to have to implement this autonomous driving technology. So it's step by step getting more and more vehicles to have like this system I tried to describe.
Yeah, okay. So 2 to 3 years, a little longer for the big buses. That sounds fair. Thank you, Mark, for that question. We've got another live question for you, Thomas. This one is from Stephanie Berliner. She says, in Switzerland, we're discussing what is required to take out the safety driver under test legislation. What are the current requirements for this in your projects? So the question is, what do you have to do to take out the safety driver in your current projects?
Yeah, in Germany, we have a very clear regulation there. We have been the first in the world who had like regulations for regular transportation, and this is in two steps. The first step is the test approval. And then during the whole phase of the test approval where we are in, you need somebody in the car who supervises it, and that is, in our case, the safety driver. So we stay here in this phase until we get the type approval. And the type approval is really then that it says this vehicle can drive in which different driving situations and in all over Germany. So to get out the safety driver, you need this type approvals. So this is just a regulational topic.
Speaking of regulatory topics, Thomas, I'm wondering, what role do you think the German government should play in incentivizing investment in autonomous public transport solutions?
Yeah, as I said, we are in the market at the moment, at the point where technology and services are very expensive. On the other hand, we don't have the money in the public transport sector, in the cities, in the local communities. So this is like a chicken egg problem. We don't have the vehicles, the software is too expensive, and we can't afford it. So it stays expensive, and we need now like a kickstart into the market. And this kickstart needs to be like, or would be perfect, ideal if we finance those smaller regions. Then we have the demand for the industry, and the market developing goes on. And to to invest in this, the politicians has to think about, why should I invest in this? And therefore, we need, from my point of view, a clear target picture in which direction we want to develop our mobility systems system in Germany. So I think we need to have a discussion in Germany about how do we want to be mobile in the future, and what do we want to provide to our people, how we want to protect our climate with it, make the rural areas more attractive, to have like also a better way of living in cities and rural areas. So there's a lot of topics we need to discuss, and we need to get figures on that. Which mobility scenario means what exactly, and how we can reach then this target picture? Because this is the second topic we need from the government, a really clear way of how we reach it, and then we can we can take it from there.
You're asking for a clear picture. It sounds like there's a lot of work still left to do. I'm conscious that we need to let you get back to work. So one final question, and then we'll let you go today. Thomas, share with us a little bit more about how the expansion of autonomous vehicles in public transport specifically can affect employment in that sector. You mentioned there's driver shortages.
Yeah, exactly. We have those driver shortages, so we really need them. And autonomous vehicles are creating new jobs, safety driver jobs, technical supervisors, technicians, software developers. So this is really very interesting also from the point of economy, because we are creating new higher qualified jobs. And when we increase the system, there are coming a lot of more those jobs. And many of these jobs are, of course, related to the driver job today. So if you are thinking to start a career as a bus driver, come to DB Regio. We have the right job for you today and tomorrow.
I love the sound of that. Well, Thomas Dreves, I can't think of a better place to leave it. Thank you so much for being our guest. This was Thomas Dreves, Head of Autonomous Driving at DB Regio. Thank you so much for joining us here on the IAA Mobility Visionary Club. We'll be back next month with another exciting episode introducing you to a mobility pioneer who is driving our future. I'll see you then.